Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The people that comment on that stuff or the people that want to troll me, like, they don't even know who I am. Like, that's just that version that you're seeing. And if I know myself that I'm not that person, then these comments are not going to affect me.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Should I Delete That? I'm Em Clarkson.
And I'm Boy Alex.
We have Boy Alex back in the room. Girl Alex is still on her maternity leave. And we are coming to you from a futon. In an onsen in the middle of Japan.
It's mental. We're both also very old because we have aching hips from lying on the floor last night.
Both of us creaked when we woke up this morning. We are currently living our best lives, most exhausting lives, having the adventure of a lifetime with our baby. We are halfway through our Japan adventure. We are currently in Takayama. We have eaten like Trojans today.
And we're going to eat more as well this evening. Gyozas.
Oh. I don't know if Trojans eat well, but I stuck with it. We have an amazing interview today with Kaz Crossley. And obviously we've got Girl Alex at the helm of that. But I thought we would just round you up a little GBA before we get into it. So babe, without further ado, have you got anything good, bad or awkward?
Okay, yes, to all three. My good is probably similar to yours in that we're in Japan on what is literally the adventure of a lifetime with our baby, and that's pretty good.
Okay, so yes, that's really good, but I just have a better good. Okay. Top chump. We didn't say it last week. Girl Alex has had her baby.
Yay!
Oh my God, Bessie. Yes. Little Tommy is here in the world, and I
so
am
sweet.
So excited. We obviously pre-recorded last week's GBA with Georgie before I left for Japan. We had to do it the day we did it because we were coming to Japan, and then Al put on Instagram the night that we'd recorded that he was here because we hadn't wanted to break her news, obviously, but just the best news in the whole wide world.
It's
Should
amazing.
I delete that? Gang has grown, and she's such a trooper. She's done so well. And he's just so perfect, and I'm so excited. I cannot wait to meet him, and everything's just perfect.
Yes. We're so excited.
So yeah, babe, I'm pleased you're having a nice holiday, but girl, Alex has actually made a miracle.
Well,
so
I look like a dick.
Yeah.
Again.
So you're a twat. So obviously my good's better than your good.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything bad?
My bad's definitely going to be worse than any bad that you've got from this whole trip.
Yeah.
So incredible. We went up to like the northern Japanese Alps to go and visit the snow monkeys. So we were in the middle of absolutely nowhere, again, sleeping on floors and eating really
Guys,
amazing.
When we tell you the pillows were literally full of pebbles. You know when you see like a flood and it, like a flood on the news and people
sandbags.
Arrive? Yeah. To,
yeah.
Yeah. Draft excluders. Like to stop the flooding, they give you sandbags. Those were our pillows.
That's what we were sleeping on.
Like stunning, but
yeah. We were, yeah, it was in the middle of nowhere and very traditional, which is incredible. However, I don't know if it was when I was up seeing the snow monkeys. There's also an onsens, which are these public baths and hot springs, which I went into when I was there. I have a rash on my back, everyone. And
it's actually a rash on his ass. It starts on his ass. It goes up his back.
Oh, why did you say that? That's
well, you brought it up. You didn't need to bring up the rash. Could have said anything.
This is definitely my bad.
It rained yesterday.
That's true.
No, tell everyone about your rationale.
So, I mean, also on the table, so we've got monkeys. It wasn't a monkey bite because they didn't bite me. Could have been a spider bite because, you know.
Definitely, I think it's most likely.
I think it's most like a spider bite. Or
sandbag bite.
Sandbag bite. Or also just general, like, jungle forest.
We're not the jungle.
Well, it's like northern Japanese forest vibes and whatever lives up there. It's got me.
Yeah. So we're losing him.
I mean,
to the most glamorous of conditions.
I may not be here next week. So, you know, that could be it.
They'll be relieved.
Oh, at least someone's sad.
My bad. You know what? Like, no bad. Well, actually, my right tit is really sore.
A lot of bodily issues.
Your rationale. The breastfeeding out here is intense. Like, we are having the best time. It's clapping. She's like, woohoo, for the intense breastfeeding. We are having the most amazing time. Like, it is the adventure of a lifetime. I cannot believe that we're doing it. But it's, like, it is so full on. And obviously, we've dragged this poor baby. Like, she's got no say in this. We've fully kidnapped her. Like, she's got no idea where she is. We barely know where we are. And, you know, jet lag's intense. She's not had anything like that before. It was a 14-hour flight. So she's turned to the only comfort that she knows, and that's my nipples. So my right one is just in absolute bobbins.
Yeah, that's definitely a bad.
Yeah, it's like, and it's, I mean, it is amazing, but obviously doing stuff traditionally, we're sleeping on the floor, which means co-sleeping, which means breastfeeding.
Yeah, no cots.
All night long. Yeah. Yeah, no cots. So it is like, it's a small bad and a very big good because we are having the most amazing time. But it's intense. But that's, you know, exactly what we knew it would be.
Yeah, we were prepared.
And what we wanted it to be as well. And it's like such an adventure. So it's fine. Like, sore nipples, I'll get over it.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Okay. My awkward is kind of linked to my bad in a way. So when we were in Tokyo.
You've just told thousands of women that you've got a rashy arse crack. That's the awkward.
That's my awkward. Yeah, that is. Oh, you told them about that one. Thanks. I'm going to blame you. No, my awkward. So basically, a friend of mine told me that in Tokyo, there's amazing onsens or these hot springs. And what I hadn't really considered was that you've got to be fully naked when you go in. And it's an incredible kind of cultural and traditional routine. But you're not allowed to wear any underwear or any swim shorts or anything. I think for me and, I mean, Em obviously is not going to go near them because you would simply perish.
Awkward little being. I did the one in Canada on my own. Like, it was just me in there.
Yeah.
So it's fine. And I think I'd have been all right up there if there'd been somebody else.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why, but the ones in the city, like, I think particularly for... Ow! Shit. Mummy's sorely boob. Poor boob. Do you even do it again? Yeah, like, I feel like the city one's kind of more... I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like it was like you went to like their Soho house, except their Soho house is like,
yeah,
you just do it.
You just go for
it's
it.
It's so normal for everyone else.
That's it. There's like everyone from every kind of walk of life or body shape is there. It's just something that I was completely not used to.
Yeah, and you did it on your first morning as well.
I just went in.
It was like, yeah, I've arrived.
Hardcore. Yeah, so you basically, when you go in, for people who don't know, you go in and you've got to sit down on these tiny, tiny stools right next to everyone else who's fully naked and shower yourself. And they've got shampoo, conditioner and shower gel. And basically, you've got to fully wash your entire body before you even step into these hot springs. Fully naked. So everyone's there just right next to each other, like bumping elbows, washing your body.
Washing your bits.
While sitting balls on a mini stool with your balls hanging low.
And you didn't know what to do. The thing that would genuinely stop me is that you didn't know what to do, so you had to look at everybody else to copy them.
So I was basically perving.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I'm not looking at your bum. I'm looking at, like, how you're washing it.
Like, what do I do? How long do I wash for before I get into
that?
Like, there's a lot of that.
Like, that's what... Like, if I had the confidence, if I knew what was up... Like, with the one in New Canada, I was like, I can screw this up because I'm on my own.
Yeah.
Face the pressure of, like... literally caught with your pants down.
100%. So that's my awkward. I mean, by the end, I got used to it and I was actually strutting around.
Yeah. Willy waving. So my awkward is your fault. I had Arlo strapped to me at one point in the snow in New Canada, and we came out of this cafe or this sort of restaurant thing, and I was coming down the stairs, and Karma swung around quick for me because we were going down the stairs. I had Arlo strapped to me. It was a blizzard. Like, you've never seen anything like it. Alex went down the steps first and slipped on the last step. And I, protective mama bear, was like, oh my God, you twat, you nearly took me out. And he was like, oh, it's not my fault. And he was drawing breath to say, I think the bottom step is really slippery. By which point I'd hit the bottom step and also slipped. But Alex had broken my fall. So one of my legs was still like three steps up and the other one was like slipped, but kind of crashed into him. I obviously went down with a squeal and then was stuck because it was so slippery. And there was like just a restaurant full of people who'd watched me not only like give out to him for slipping over, but then slip over myself and then be stuck all while having my baby strapped to me. And it was just embarrassing. I just felt embarrassed. The only thing that made me feel slightly better was as we were walking down the hill, a man fell next to me and he went down way harder. So he kind of stole the attention and I love him very much. And I slipped him a fiver afterwards to say thanks. I'm just going to add in a tiny other bit. There was a little earthquake when we were staying. Ukraine was an exciting place. There's a little earthquake and I was a bit anxious about that. But we're all in all having the most incredible time, if not missing girl Alex to death. No offence, boy Alex.
Hey, rude.
I know, don't care. I miss her so much, but I'm so excited that Tommy's here and that you guys all know that Tommy's here and I can't wait to go and see him when I'm back because I haven't met him yet. I've just had like 50 million photos. Thank God. I have to keep sending Alex a text being like, I know what you're like. And there's no such thing as too many photos. Like, it's simply, the limit does not exist. Keep them coming. So that's us on the maddest trip of our life. By next week we will be home. Normal-ish service will be resuming, although girl Alex obviously still has some well-earned time off to have. But without further ado, I'm going to let you get into the interview today with the amazing Kaz Crossley. We absolutely love speaking to her. We love everything that she does, and I thought this was a really interesting and valuable conversation, so I hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
Hi, Kaz.
Hi, guys. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, no, thanks so much for coming. Oh, I'm gonna preface it by saying I'm not very well, so if I am a terrible interviewer today, that's why. But we've got the best guest, so we're going to be fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much.
You are. I follow your Instagram quite religiously. A Muay Thai boxer. Muay Thai boxer.
Muay Thai's a drink.
You can tell where my hobbies turn to look at me more. Can you tell us about it? Because have you ever watched Muay Thai boxing?
I've watched yours. So good.
Thank you.
In another life, I feel like you'd be really good at that, Alex.
I will. I
you should get
boxing.
Into it. It's never too late. Yeah, do you do boxing?
Yes, but never kickboxing.
So it's completely
different. So I
wouldn't
know how to,
So Muay Thai is the art of eight limbs. So you use your elbows, your knees, as well as obviously boxing and then kicking as well. It's a pretty dangerous sport to watch it. If you watch any fights and stuff, people get cut. I don't do any fighting. I think my thing is showing women that you can do it as a form of like, you know, it's really good for your physical health, but it's really good for my mental health as well. And that's how I started Combat Collective, which is a women's space for Muay Thai. But I want to expand into more sports as well. I just think it's amazing. Everyone should try it. That's why I do my retreats and get people to come from all over the world and they've never done it before. And it's been like so amazing. I just got back from one. So,
this baby is out, can I come and come on one of your retreats and do it?
Yeah.
I want to come, but I actually have a question because I'm quite interested in this. When people say, like, oh, yeah, you can come and like, it doesn't matter if you've never done it before, like, how shit can you be?
No, that's why it's so amazing to have this space that, like, you don't get judged for it or anything. Because
do you have to have done any boxing?
No, like, completely, can be complete beginner, like, never even put a boxing glove on before, and you can come and I'll help you.
I absolutely love to. Where do you hold them, the retreats?
The retreats are in Thailand.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with our kids?
So, I don't care. I don't know.
Maybe I should do like a mummy one. So you can bring them.
I'll leave it at home.
I'm not.
You haven't even had it yet.
I'm already sick of it.
That's amazing. So cool. I honestly, in my head, I think I'd be really good at it. And then in reality, I'd don't.
But that's the thing, like, no one's good at anything when they first do it. Like, the most amazing, I don't know, swimmer, anyone in the Olympics, they always started off shit, do you know what I mean? No, but that's what I mean. That's why I started Combat Collective, because women can come and have a space where they're not judged. Muay Thai is a very male-dominated sport. So like most Muay Thai gyms, when you go in it, like, there's hardly any women in there, which is why it's just so intimidating to start it, which is why a lot of women like don't think, oh, I'm going to start Muay Thai. But I didn't realize this until I actually got into it myself and I was putting my videos online and I just had like so many girls message me saying, like, I really want to do this, but where can I start? And I was just like, I need to create a space. Mm. And there's a lot of gyms that have done like women-only Muay Thai classes and stuff. But I just think on a scale where like I'm going to take it like Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool. I want to like literally take it all over the UK.
Yeah.
But then also I've just done my second retreat, which was worldwide. Like anyone, we had people from like Australia, Hong Kong, come from all over to just come and do Muay Thai. And yeah, it's for all levels. There was like complete beginners, but it's also, it was really empowering to have so many women in one space, like-minded people that have come by themselves to do something that they've never experienced before, push their body to like extreme like lengths that they haven't gone through. Like we did a challenge where you had to run up a hill, which is like the incline's like this, and you get to the top of a big Buddha, and it's just beautiful, and it's just like an amazing experience for them. And then the last one I did, I held like a closing circle, and I did like a guided meditation, which I never thought I'd be that kind of person. Like I'm really not into that stuff, but I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do this with them, and everyone was just like releasing. And then we opened up and, you know, I realized, wow, like these women are coming for so many different reasons. Mm. You know, the reason why I got into Muay Thai because I went through a breakup. Like some of them like went through that and that's why they booked on, or they've been through shit. Like life is shit, do you know what I mean? But to put yourself in somewhere, it's such a different environment with people that you haven't met before. It's like, yeah, really super empowering.
So out of interest, given that it's so male dominated, how did you get into it and when? And you said it was because of a breakup.
Yeah. So when I when we broke up, me and Josh from Love Island, that's when I went to Thailand and I did a 2-week Muay Thai
camp.
So you
hadn't done it your whole life?
You just never did boxed?
No. I'm not like amazing, by the way. I'm literally like at the amateur level. Like, I don't spar or nothing. I love hitting pads.
Yeah.
I've done it, yeah, since Love Island. So it would be like 4 or 5 years now. Not consistently, on and off. I think during COVID was when I was training every day because like there was nothing else to do. But I think that really helped my mental health get through that kind of times as well.
I can't believe it's been that long since you were on Love Island.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember it. So
do you?
Yeah, so recently.
Yeah, but 5 years sounds like a long time, and then it's gone so quickly. But then when I look and see like all the different versions of myself that has come from that, even from before, it's like I'm like a completely different person. Yeah.
You've done so much since as well, because the work that you've been doing in Thailand beyond the Muay Thai, correctly, is amazing as well.
Thank you.
What led to that?
So that was when it was during COVID, and I was abroad and I wanted to go to Thailand to meet up with my friends in Thailand. And I had no plan to do anything, charity work or anything. I was actually, going to stay with my friends. And because it was COVID, you had to quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. Mm. So I was like, well, I'm not going to stay in like a shit hotel. I'm going to book like a really nice hotel for myself. And then I booked like a 1-bedroom massive villa. I had like a massive pool and I was just there by myself for 2 weeks. And then I came across this Instagram of these kids that were training Muay Thai in Thailand. And they literally had like nothing. Like they were living in Isan, which is a very poverty stricken area where there's literally like the adults that are like able, they leave and work somewhere else. So all that's left there is like kids, like mentally unwell people, disabled people, old people. And there's like no opportunities there. But these kids were training Muay Thai every day because in Thailand, like that's a lot of, they only have that. Do you know what I mean? I'm like in this big fuck off mansion, like all to myself, like watching these kids that have nothing. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like literally, I was like, I need to sort it out. And I messaged them and I was like, I want to come and help. And it's actually a Canadian woman that ran the gym. She met her husband who is Thai. They had a kid together and she ended up moving to where her husband's family was, which was there, which is where like there was nothing there, do you know what I mean? And then slowly over 7 years, it just became like a bigger thing. And all these kids started training with her and she realized like, wow, like we're giving them something to, you know, look forward to do, to have structure in their life. They're eating well, we're getting donations. Like it was like community funded. No, like the people on Instagram were donating to her and stuff. And then, yeah, it just grew from there really. Like the project got a lot bigger. I said, I want to raise like, I don't know, like 30 grand, maybe we can build a house or something, because they'd actually saved up money to build a plot of land, to build on a plot of land. And then the project got bigger and bigger. I was sharing the kids through my Instagram. I was, you know, running with them, training with them. And then it ended up being, we raised over £100,000 and we built a two-story, six-bedroom house next to a Muay Thai gym. So they didn't have to, because they were traveling really far to go to the schools and to the gym. It was all in this back of the pickup truck, like even when it was raining. Like, and I think me showing that on my Instagram and showing like how these kids live, but they were so happy and they, you know, full of so much energy. Like they was running in the morning, in the evening, training, and they wanted to do that to better themselves despite having nothing. I think people really saw that through my Instagram and they wanted to help. And I feel very connected to Thailand. And my mum, she grew up in poverty. Like that's how I was brought up. She didn't have anything. Like she didn't have a cooker. They'd cook over the fire. Like she was very poor. So I think my connection through my mum and my Thai background and then to Muay Thai brought a lot of like love for these kids, and they become like very, very close to me. So then it made it harder because I wanted to raise even more money and I wanted to build it. And yeah, then I went back and we did more, and it's become like a little community there, which I'm obviously very proud of. I think that's like my greatest achievement that I've done. So I always like go back and visit them and stuff.
Yeah, that's a huge achievement. Well done.
Thank you.
100 grand, that's incredible.
Yeah. I look back and think, wow, like you don't plan, like that was never planned. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what I would have been doing if it wasn't for them. Like I would have just been chilling there. But COVID as well, it was such a hard time for them in that area too. It made everything like 10 times worse. So even Frances, who runs a gym, she was just like, you literally just came at the right time because we didn't know what we would have done.
It's such an unreal use of your platform though.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's like, I didn't realise like this is actually a platform that you can like change people's lives with.
Yeah.
It's an incredible, like it's an amazing get, like, and it's really interesting, I think, in so many ways, doing a show like Love Island and like propelling you into like such crazy levels of fame. There's loads of stuff that is really negative and there's loads of stuff that's really positive, but there's also just other stuff that I guess you would never have
could
have expected.
It's bad because it's like so many people now come on Love Island and there's so many different people, like, you know, like Dr. Alex is completely different to me and stuff. It's like we actually have so much power in this platform and our following. And, you know, I don't want to sit here and say like, oh, we could be doing more and stuff, but like genuinely, like seeing that and seeing what I was able to do with my followers, it really opened my eyes. Like, and I want to do more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. As you, like, I mean, good for you. But
it's a great example, actually. Yeah. How to, that, if you don't mind me asking, that 100 grand, was that solely raised from your Instagram followers?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's really, really incredible.
Yeah. And to not shit on anybody else, it is a really good example of what you can do with the platform that you get from on the back of, and Dr. Alex would be another good example of just like, it's really harnessing it for like, and not that anyone has a responsibility, but
it is. It's hard as well though, because obviously we get stereotyped from Love Island even. Like when I reached out to Frances, the Canadian woman who owns the gym and stuff, she said that she saw my Instagram and showed her friend who worked in a school in Isan, and he went, do you think she's coming to help you because of my profile? Mm. It's like me in a bikini, like posing. And then when, you know, I did all of that stuff, I would get messages like, this is a real influencer, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, to me, I feel like that's really unfair because why is the term influencer so negatively stereotyped?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like I don't want to say that I'm an influencer when people ask me what I do? Because it's so like, Like, it's got such a negative.
It's such
a negative. Do you know what I mean?
So negative. I'm so embarrassed.
I'm mortified.
I didn't do anything. I did nothing. Leave, don't look at me.
But the thing, when I tell people I'm an influencer, like, I draw more attention to myself because I'm so embarrassed about it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm an influencer. Like, let's move on. But I'm like, well, I'm gonna actually, like, I do influencing. Like, it's just so.
I always
and
say,
then they're like, okay, so what do you influence then?
Yeah.
Come on, influence me. And I'm like, oh my god, like, it's not my fault. Like, this is what I am. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, you're a real influencer. Like, no, like, everyone is a real influencer. Yeah. Who's a real influencer? Yeah. I'm doing something, you know, positive, and I'm giving back to charity. But that doesn't mean that every influencer has to do that. Like, like, people. People inspire people in different ways, and like, why do we all have to be the same? And I get that, and I don't want to, you know, come across like, yeah, like, this is what we should be doing, and right, because it's not, because it's like, I did that and I didn't plan to do that, it just happened. I didn't do it for any sort of PR, or like, I genuinely felt a connection for these kids and it just turned out to be that way. And obviously I'm just so grateful for the whole experience. They taught me even more about myself. Like, I didn't, like, I gained so much from these kids, because like, they literally had nothing, babe. Like, and they were so happy and so just, oh, the energy is just crazy. And I think people did really see that through my stories. And that's why I was able to raise them. But, you know, raising money, that's also really hard. Like, when, like, we were struggling and the donations slowed down, I would get really affected by it. And I was, like, messaging all my friends, like, you haven't even donated. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I got so passionate about it. But it literally took over my whole life. Like, but, you know, it was all worth it in the end.
Yeah, it is amazing. Can I ask as well, and you, like, we don't have to talk about it if you want, if you don't want to, but then when you were doing, because you have been, and again, not that we're going to put in like good and bad, but you have been, you've been using your platform for such a good thing for such a long time now.
Yeah.
And then you had situation in the press, which in, to my mind has been so unfair, and you've been held to such a horribly high standard. Do you think that that was compounded by the fact that you were doing good on your platform? Do you think if you'd always just been like, oh, I'm just an influencer, I'm just in my bikini, or I'm just, you know, and you'd kind of played the like trope that people would have expected?
I don't think it was affected like by what I was doing, you know, on my Instagram normally, because that wasn't ever shown. Like, there wasn't one article that spoke about the good stuff that I was doing, like the charity work and everything like that. Like, anything that went in the press was always just about my love life, when I was naked in a bikini, when I was doing drugs. And, you know, that was very hard for me to deal with as well, because obviously I've been painted at this person. And yeah, I've done drugs, I've made mistakes, you know. Unfortunately, I was filmed by someone I trusted, and, you know, that was all shit as well. But I've learned now, like, the British press is not true. Like, even, like, some stuff that they write and everything, like, they were saying that I was going to, even when I got held for questioning with the police in Dubai and stuff, like, I was saying that 25 years in jail, this, like, it's just, they literally make up the most bullshit ever. Even when I was there and I saw the Sun journalist there, they lied to the police saying that he was my husband, and that's how they got inside.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, and that's how they were able to release the article that said that I was actually there. Do you know what I mean?
So, they said that they were a journalist said that they were your husband.
Yeah, so imagine, I've flown to Thailand now, and this is a whole year after it's all come out. So for me, I've been on the craziest journey of self-development. Like, when that did all get released, it was even a whole year before that video was actually taken. So even then, I'm a completely different person. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, but obviously, it got released, and I had to deal with that. I had to, you know, deal with the press attention, deal with, you know, the work completely changed for me. There was no, like, Instagram, like, easy ads or anything anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because, of course, no one's going to want that as a representation. And I understood that. And that's how I started Combat Collective, because I thought, you know what, like, it's time now to actually, like, work for myself. I have Kazbans, yeah, but I'm really passionate about combat sports, and I'm really passionate about women, and I want to bring that together. I'm passionate about Thailand. I wanted to bring all my passions together, and that's how I started that business. And then, you know, a year later, I was I really love presenting as well. So I was offered a job in Thailand to interview UFC fighters. And this is like, oh, my dream job. Like, I remember being so excited. And they'd actually booked the flights, but the flight was via Abu Dhabi. And obviously, I didn't know that there was a case against me, but obviously, there was everything all over the press. And then the Dubai police were following it. So,
because this video had been taken in Dubai,
yes. Right. But another thing is, like, the video was taken in Dubai, and when it got released, and whoever made this Instagram, like, obviously I know who did it, but they put the video and then they swiped it to a picture of me, like, in that same dress and with the Dubai skyline, which was on a completely different night. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember it.
Dude, that was deliberate to make it.
But it was in Dubai, and that's why I didn't deny it, because obviously it was. But when the press article got released, they didn't even, like, write that it was in Dubai. So it got put up, sniffing, whatever. And then a week later, it was changed, like, in Dubai. Mm. And it's like, there is no proof that this was me in Dubai anyway. But obviously, I knew it was.
Yeah.
But it could have been anywhere. It could have been a video from the UK. And they, because that someone's put it in the same dress next to it was on an Instagram post. They made the Instagram and then they followed that San and everyone, blah, blah, blah. That's how they saw it. So the press never have any, like, factual information that when they write it, which is why I don't believe anything that is written in there now. And I've seen it, like, through my own eyes. But I was held for questioning for a week. That's another thing. I was never arrested. They never put me in handcuffs. They never did. Like, they needed me to question.
Yeah, the press. Yeah. The if you just read about it in the press,
jailed behind bars.
Literally.
We're actually doing
this interview now in a Dubai prison, guys. Did you not know?
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, so it was when I was actually being, like, released and everything was fine. Like, they said, like, the case is closed, like, come back anytime, everything like this. Like, people think, like, I'm not allowed back and all of this stuff. But I remember walking through, like, to get some papers or something, and there was these, like, two men, like, just watching me from the side. And I just thought, okay, nothing of it, whatever. Then one of the guards brought me, he was like, Kazimir. I was like, yeah. He was like, come here, come with me. And he brought me straight to these men. And then one of them stood up and was like, oh my God, Kaz, we've been so worried about you. I'm da-da-da from the Sun. And I was like, what the fuck are you actually doing here? I was like, are you taking the fucking piss? There's one of my friends that were outside literally, like, the whole week that I could never see. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, get these people away from me now. I literally, like, went mad. And then I went mad to one of the guards. And I was like, how are they here? I don't know them. He was like, they said that, he said that he was your husband. I was like, he's not my husband. He's the journalist. Now this story's going to be all over the newspapers. And then that's when they was like, oh, we're really sorry, blah, 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 blah. Like, and then I was released not long after that, because obviously I was so fuming. I couldn't believe it.
They
know.
They play so fast and loose with people.
No, babe. Like,
it's so bad. I can't believe it.
But think about this. I'm not being funny, but that was, like, one of the most traumatic experiences that I've ever gone through in my whole life. Yeah. Like, I literally lost my hair from it. Like, all this bit of hair is when it fell off. And that was all from when, then I was in the jail and stuff. And you imagine, like, the first people that I see is, like, not even, like, my family or my friends. It's, like, fucking journalists.
Oh, my God.
But then after that, you know, when people think, oh, like, that must have been awful, that must have been awful. But when I was in there, it was, like, so eye-opening for me, like, how blessed and lucky, like, I am to have the life that I live, because there was women in there that literally had nobody, and they were in there with no money, no family, no nothing. And I even remember, like, one night I was crying, and, like, one of the girls that were in there was just like, stop crying. Like, you're so blessed. Like, these girls don't even have like a court day or nothing. They've been in here for like a year and they don't even know when they're coming out. Like, you can't cry. And I was like, fuck's sake. Like, I actually can't. Like, I'm so lucky. Like, I have people all outside worrying about me, ringing me, making sure I'm okay, everything like this. So when I came out, I was just like, I was on a high when I came out because I was like so blessed for my life. And then when that kind of faded, it was like real life. And it was like, fuck, like it's all over again. Like it's happening all over again. Like all the press, all the negative comments, all the... what people were saying about me is like,
it's resurfaced.
But if they didn't hear about it that first time, they definitely heard about it now. Because this was like, I was on the front page of The Sun, like Kaz jail, all of that stuff. And I'd actually built up relationships with brands since then. So then that was all fucked again.
It's hard because in the press, it's kind of looking like it's a recent thing, right?
It was looking like a recent thing for, but anyone that looked into it, it was like, it was COVID, like no one's meant to be partying. Yeah. And that version of myself, oh my God, like I was drinking every day. Like I was around really the wrong people for me, people that I thought cared, but really didn't. Do you know what I mean? And I think when you have... like self-love is something that I really had to focus on, like from being in shit relationships, even from before Love Island. Like you only allow people to treat you that way, like because you think you're worth that. Do you know what I mean? Like I must not have had any self-worth, like self-love. I've had to really build. I do all these amazing things, but I didn't feel amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like the work that I've been doing recently, like with my life coach and, you know, all this trauma release, but then also celebrating who I am and all the amazing things that I've done. Because when it's been all over the press and I feel like everyone thinks this way about me and everything like that, now I realize like the people that comment on that stuff or the people that want to troll me, like they don't even know who I am. Like that's just that version that you're seeing. And if I know myself that I'm not that person, then these comments are not going to affect me.
How were the comments? Because the press is one thing and I feel like reputationally that's horrible because like you say, you've got your work, you've got your brand, you've got the work that you're doing in Thailand that you really care about and you've got all of that to protect. And I feel like the press, it's such a unique experience to feel like that your very foundations are being threatened. But then you've got the kind of more like insidious relentlessness of the comments. Like how did you deal with that? Or did that affect, I guess...
The comments from like the first time it got released, you know, it was very much like cokehead, like you're not a public figure, like you just... And it was, you know, when you're reading stuff about yourself, when you feel so shit anyway, like that's when it affects you. Like, and it was really bad. And then the second time, I think I felt a lot more of people knowing like who I am and the work that I've been doing. And I felt a lot of support. I felt a lot of support regardless of the other comments. Like, but it was still hard because I thought that I'd put that to bed kind of thing. I thought that it was over and I'd never actually spoke about it openly because I didn't want to speak about it because I was so like ashamed. I was so heartbroken. I felt so betrayed. I had all these different emotions that people wanted me to, you know, talk about it when the video first came out. And like literally I was just in the worst place I've ever been in my life. And so it didn't get mentioned. And even up until now, the only time I spoke about it was on Grace Barry's podcast. And I feel like that was good for me because it was like quite releasing almost. And then also people saw like a different side to me, but I never need to like explain myself. I didn't feel like I need to explain. I need to know, like I need to say like this was this and I'm a victim. I'm not saying I'm a victim. People make mistakes.
But you are a bit. Like I don't think this would have happened to a man. I've been saying this a lot. I've been talking to my husband about it. I don't think this would have happened to a man.
No. To get dragged through the press and everything like that.
To have the video taken in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. If I wasn't in like the relationship that I was in, like, yeah, this would never have happened. And then also being in the public eye and being caught doing drugs, I think when it happens to a man is not the same. I feel like the whole situation, even for me, it was like, I'm doing so much work on myself and I'm trying to move forward and I'm trying to move on with my career. And it just kept getting dragged back up, dragged back up. And, you know, there are people that won't work with me because I have this taint, you know, against me. And that's something that I have to accept, you know. It's not something that I'm like, fully forgetting about, like, this is not me, this is not happening, I don't want to talk about it. It's a part of my journey, it's part of my life, and I need to accept that. And I think, you know, if that never happened, like, maybe I would have gone back to the guy. And it, like, sometimes, like, so much bad stuff happened in that relationship and I never left. I literally, like, most red flags, like, awful, awful stuff, and I never left. And it took that for me to be like, wow, like, what the fuck am I doing?
And then
I've had to do so much work on myself since then, because it's not, like, my first abusive relationship that I've been in. It's like my second now, and it's like, has, like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this to yourself? Because there were so many times that I went back. And then now, it's like, I've forgiven myself now, because no, like, there's just shit people in the world. And as long as I know who I am and I love myself and I make sure that whoever I meet moving forward, it's just not going to be easy. Because also, when you've been in relationships like that, they do attach to you. You know, you do remember you have trust issues and everything.
Can I ask, and you don't have to answer this, but was it your boyfriend at the time who released that video?
Yeah, it was somebody that, like, I was seeing, but we weren't together anymore. Yeah.
Okay. But was that the abusive relationship you were referring to?
Yeah.
Okay. God, I'm so sorry. That is so awful that he did that.
Yeah. I try, like, now moving forward, like, I don't want to talk about, like, him and that situation because I don't want it to be, like, about him, do you know what I mean?
And he can't define you.
Yeah. No.
But I think as well, to people listening, it's so, I don't think people are very good at forgiving themselves. Like you said, you're angry with yourself. And I think that's something that we talk loads about in self-love. And it's like, I really want to, like, love my body and I'm trying to get this. And there's this quote that just stays with me all the time. That's like, no amount of guilt can change the past, which is like nice in theory, but then actually putting that to practice is like, oh, okay. Because we haven't all been versions of ourselves, and whatever it is, like, I mean, whether it be, I don't know, things that we're conditioned to think about other women, or like if we've bitched, or if we've been mean, or if we've, there've been so many past versions of ourselves for all of us that you want to move on from. But you, I think we feel that, and I definitely think this is exacerbated for women, where we don't feel able to change. And I think people like to keep you small, don't they? They like to keep you where they know you and where they're comfortable with you. So if they see you evolving beyond something, they're going to pull you back again. And I think it's really nice that you can be so open about the fact that you kind of had wanted to forgive yourself, even though I don't really think it was you had to forgive. But like, and you're going to keep going with what you want. And I don't know, I think that's really important for people, because I think we all have, there will all be, anybody listening, they'll have something in their past that they're like, oh, there's this part of myself that I just can't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really amazing that people can watch you literally doing it, like step by step, and letting that go.
And that's why I think it's important to know that you are allowed to have different versions of yourself. Yeah. And like, it's not like I'm a completely different person. I'm definitely still the same. But that's what happens, like, when you grow up and you become more mature, and it's like all these life experiences and experiences with men and everything, like, you just become the person that you are. My friend told me something the other day, because he was talking about it, like feeling damaged and anything like that. But he said that there's like a place in Japan where they break vases, and they break them on purpose, and then they glue them back together with like a gold.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know what it is.
I know what it is, because Georgie makes those leggings. literally designed.
Oh, yes.
Our friend Georgie, who had cancer, who's amazing, she made this legging design specifically about the rebuild, like after.
Really? But these vases are, every single one of them is different, and every single one of them is beautiful. Aww. And they're like so expensive, and it's because every single crack is completely unique to that vase. Yeah. And I think that's completely the same with us and, you know, what we go through. Yeah. And there's no reason why you can't build yourself back up. You can break yourself, build yourself back up. Like, it's never gonna, there's no journey that is just healing and then you're just healed. Do you know what I mean? No one is fully healed.
Yeah. It's called
Kintsugi. I'm definitely butchering that.
Really?
Kintsugi, yeah. Yeah. That's and they're really so nice. Gorgeous. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, that's so yeah, nice.
I love that. I love that.
That's me, the vase.
It's all of us though, isn't yeah. it? And it's just, it's like, it's just shit that you have had your mistakes. I'm even like struggling to say it's a like mistake.
Depends how you define mistake. Doing drugs, that's only, what is it? It's like, I didn't cause harm on anyone else but myself.
No. Right, exactly. You know? Exactly, yeah.
And I never said that I'm some perfect, amazing person that doesn't take drugs. Like,
yeah.
People do that.
Yeah. But we talked about this the other day as well, and not to give, like, labour the point on the men and women thing, but we had a female alcoholic on the podcast and we talked about this. And the way that we, like, I don't know, like Harry Styles alludes to drugs in his songs all the time and everyone's like, yeah, like so hot. And it's all like, it's yeah, like rock sexy, star. Sexy, rock star. And then it's like Cara Delevingne does it and it's like, oh, she's off the rails. Like Amy Winehouse is like, off the rails. Like there's the women that we hold up, like we tear yeah. them down with it.
Is anything though, it's like is our the way we look. It's like when they're getting grey hair or if they're like put on weight. I think, I don't know if it's like British taboo press, but it's just completely... I just see it for yeah. what it is now, you know.
Like you see it and you because you've you know, experienced it yeah, so much
I have experienced it, but it's not just like, you know, I don't want to be a rock star or anything like that. It's just like, I could talk about the good things that I'm doing then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't
that's what pisses
they're not
me
interested
off.
In that, are
no,
they?
No, they're not interested no. in anything.
No. No.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to celebrate it.
It's mad, you know. I don't let it get, affect me too much anymore. But
if you had your time again, would you do Love Island again and do all the fame again, or would you have chosen not?
I would 100% do it again. Anywhere I talk, on any podcast, any interview, I always talk so highly about Love Island and that.
But the
it
fame,
completely
I mean.
Changed my life. Yeah. The fame is, it comes with it. Yeah. I couldn't have all the success that I did from the show, like all these amazing brands that I work with. Like I built, I bought property, I'd done my mum's house up. Like I've been able to look after myself and completely change my life. And that wouldn't have come if it wasn't for the fame too, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I have to, you know, take responsibility for myself and things that I'm doing because I need to understand that I am in the public eye. Do you know what I mean? It's just something that like you have to accept. And it's shit. And a lot of people talk about it. You know, unfortunately, the struggles that I've had has been more of recent rather than like just coming off the show. I think, you know, helping people is super, super rewarding. And it's something that we can all do on even a minor scale, just in your day to day. It doesn't have to be on a massive scale, but I think it is really important to kind of give back.
Yeah, you've done a really cool thing with your platform. And I think it's like, it is so frustrating that the press won't report on the good stuff anything like what they'll report on the bad stuff.
But and then like... I didn't do it for the press either. No, it's just it's... the bad no. press. I'm like, okay. But yeah. then, you know, also was funny when... So obviously I went out there, raised the money to build the house, and then 7 months later the house was built. When the house was built and I went back, it was after the Coke video had been released, and people were saying that I was only doing it to build up my PR and like my... image in the press and stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, I've literally been doing this. Like,
how quickly
before.
Do you think I built this house?
You know what I mean? It was like, wow, her PR team's working extra hard. No, I didn't have any PR team. Maybe why it was so fucked. But like, obviously you just learn from all these mistakes and, you know, touch wood, nothing happens again where I have to go for it. But I think now anything that happens to me, like I'm so much stronger and I've learned so much for it. And that's why people need to understand like what you go through is... it's only going to make you stronger. It's just why you just have to go for it. You can't shut yourself off. You know, I tried that. You've got to keep going and you've got to feel it. You've got to feel every single bit of emotion. And that's really hard as well to like process it and feel the pain and feel the hurt. But once you get through that, I do a lot of work with my life coach on trauma and releasing and everything. And every time she's like, right, time for some emotionals. And I'm like, oh, I can't do it. But I just feel like a million times better after. Yeah, I've always been someone that shuts off from therapy or anything like that. I've always been like, no, Muay Thai is my therapy. But I think self-development is something that anyone can benefit from.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've really gleaned a lot of positive outcomes and positivity from what from the shittiness of what happened to you, because it did happen to you. Like, tons of people take drugs and it never comes to light on a public platform, you know?
Yeah.
So it happened to you, but like, it seems like you've gleaned so much good stuff from that. And also it's shed a light on your, like, dating, I guess, and like what your preference is and what you look for. And that's so cool as well, to have more perspective on that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't a good thing and you wouldn't choose to have it, no, you know, have it happen to you, but it's cool that you've been able to like see the more positive side of it.
Yeah.
How's your hair? Is it growing back?
Yeah, the hair's, this is all my regrowth.
I thought that was amazing as well, to share what you
like
did.
A little...
It looks really cool now. Looks like a little fringe.
I like it.
I think you could cut the rest into that and then have a full fringe.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just like, I'm happy. It's, you know, when I came off, when I came home from Dubai, like from the whole gel thing, and the hair, it was like a little patch. It wasn't like a big patch. And then when I felt all those things that I was feeling, and I was like super depressed and super down, it just started getting worse and worse and worse, and it just started growing. And a lot of people don't talk about alopecia, but it's very, very, very common. I didn't know how common it was until I started talking about it on my platform. And I just remember just looking in the mirror, just, I was just being so sad. And it wasn't just like, oh my God, my hair is falling out. It was like, this is just a reminder of everything.
Of stress,
like, just everything. Yeah. And it was just right there every time I looked in the mirror, and then it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I was really upset about it. And people was like, I was just like, no one noticed, no. But it really, really affected me because, like, that was one thing I had, was like my looks, do you know what I mean? And now it's like, I felt like I was losing that. And I think, you know, people say, like, it's just hair, it's just hair. But hair is like so important to us as women. So I just wanted to make other people feel like, you know, there's someone in the public eye that is talking about this. So I was just putting it on my Instagram. I was putting it there. And then so many people was like reaching out to me, like sending me their patches. And, you know, and then I was like, oh my God, this is so common. Like, and you know, so many people's like looked worse, and it was like, oh my God, like, I just, like, the little patch, like, I'm fine, like, like compared to what other people are going through. And then there's children that are going through it as well. Like, imagine being young and then going through that and like not even understanding it, like, well, why do all the girls in my class have hair and then I don't? And I'm like, wow, like, everything is a perspective, you know. So, and then one day I just stopped caring about it, like, I just didn't even look at it anymore in the mirror, and that's when it grew back, babe. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, whoa, it's gone back.
I think it is so, like, I know, like, we've talked a lot on this podcast about the kind of, like, about Love Island and the lack of, like, maybe, I guess, we don't see ourselves represented in that show a lot of the time. And I think it is really cool that, like, it's particularly cool when someone comes off the back of it and is like, owns their mistakes and owns the things that maybe that we wouldn't talk about. And I think particularly alopecia is like you say, it affects so many people. So it will have made such a difference for them to see themselves in
it. Really
you.
Does. And you know, when people say, like, people's messaging me like, stop worrying about it and it will grow back. And I was just like, well, of course I'm going to worry about it. But like, genuinely, but then it's like, that's not the case for everyone. Do you know what I mean? But then it's like, okay, I'm embracing it now. I wasn't hiding it. I was like literally like scraping my hair back and you could see like a massive bald patch, you know? I was just like, fuck it. Like, it is what it is, you know? Yeah. It's me.
One of the stages.
Yeah, one of the stages. And then since then I was working with like a alopecia charity, Little Lady Locks, like, they're based in Manchester, and they got me presenting at that ball and we raised loads of money and stuff. And then I met loads of young girls that were suffering from alopecia and they had like their wigs made and stuff. So yeah, I think definitely want to help more people going through it, for sure, especially knowing like how it felt, even just on a little scale, like, it was big, you know.
Well, on that, on future plans, like, what do you hope to do? What are your, it's not like an interview, what are your goals?
What are my goals? 5-year goal. I just want to keep building Combat Collective.
We're coming.
Yeah, no, you actually have to come.
We are actually coming.
I really want to do it.
Get that kid out. We are
coming. I really want to do it.
The retreats. I'd love to do retreats like in different locations as well, not just Thailand. Build it all over the UK. And like, enjoy what I do. I think now I realise, like, I just want to enjoy whatever I'm doing for work, you know? And whether, I know I have a big passion in MMA and boxing and combat sports.
Yeah.
Whether it's presenting, interviewing, just being more involved in that. But then also, like, maybe one day I'll have a fight. Like, I don't know.
I feel like that
would be, like, a full cycle thing because I've never wanted to fight. Actually, like, really, really hate sparring. Like, yeah. I think sparring for me is very triggering from, like, the physical abuse that I have been through, like, with men. And for some reason, it's, like, emotionally attached whenever I get hit or something. I know it's, like, sparring, but I don't know. Something's, like, in my head that... And I would just start crying or run to the toilet, literally, like, cry. And then I just felt like, no, sparring is not for me. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to show them that you don't have to be a fighter and blah, blah, blah. But now I've been doing it for so many years now and I'm watching people spar and fight and I'm just like, oh, my God, like, I want to do that too. And I think for me, that would be really, like... just for myself, like if I overcome that, yeah. like I can, I feel like I've always shown myself that I can do anything that I want to do and I can overcome anything. So I think that for me is a big thing that I want to overcome. It's just like a little life kind of goal that I have for myself.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Can't wait. Okay. Yeah.
We'll be there. Like,
we'll stay tuned. Yeah.
Oh my God, can we present the fight?
Yeah. You're involved, guys. I remember I said it here first.
I want that in writing. Taz, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, honestly.
Yeah, it's been great.
So great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Should I Delete That? It's part of the Acast Creator Network.